Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday morning weekly gathering. It's really good to see you all in the room. I want to say a special hello to Helena. Helena is over in Britain, and I'm not sure when she popped in that she knew she was popping in for the weekly gathering. I don't know. I saw her asking, what time is it? So perfect timing, Helena. And Karen, thank you so very much for that lovely meditation this morning. I am going to start with our opening song by Deva Premal and Mitten, which of course is Awakening. And this is our opportunity to greet one another by typing on the board. So everyone, please give everyone else a virtual hug as we listen to Deva Premal and Mitten. So I would like to share our statement of purpose. Traditionally, what the facilitating minister does at this time is picks out a core value or the statement of purpose that fits best with the reading and the homily that's coming this morning. But when I went to look, I really feel that what we're going to be looking at this morning is such a fit for our purpose and all five of our core values. In fact, I think this is why I got so excited and picked this reading out, because as I was reading it, it just sounded so much like what Awakening Together is all about. The reading today is going to come from Locke Kelly's book, Shift into Freedom. We had a little experience of Locke Kelly this morning. Karen read from his book during the meditation. And, of course, Locke Kelly is going to be our guest tonight for our monthly satsang. So we have lots and lots of Locke Kelly going on. But I think the reading really talks about our purpose, which Barb has just put in the room. We are assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols. We seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And some of the highlighted words there are the fact that we are equals. In fact, Locke Kelly is very clear that awakening is for everyone, but also within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, because Locke Kelly talks about how awakening gets translated into one's common language, one's religious belief system, but actually awakening is beyond any belief system. So it's within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, but of course awakening is beyond all of those. We are awakening to our one true self, which is extremely natural, absolutely what is supposed to be happening. So we'll learn a lot more about Locke Kelly and how he looks at it. But I love his point of view. Let me get into the announcements. I'll go ahead and start with Tonight in the Sanctuary, since I've mentioned Locke Kelly. As Ken has said a couple of times, this evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 4 p.m. Eastern Time, I will be here to start off our evening with a 30-minute meditation. And then following that meditation at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time or 4:30 p.m. Pacific, Jacqueline Eckert will interview Locke Kelly for our monthly satsang. And I want to tell you, at least from my perspective, how Locke Kelly came to be our satsang guest tonight. About a month or two ago, maybe it was 2 months ago, because time flies, it seems like everywhere I went, I kept seeing this name Locke Kelly, including places where I thought it should not be. Now I understand that Karen has been reading maybe a little bit from Locke Kelly's book and placing it in her meditations, but like I would go into the ACIM meditation folder on our Dropbox and expecting to see only Karen's meditations, and there would be a Locke Kelly MP3. My friend Donald Smith sent me the Locke Kelly book to read. I went into our admin recordings, and there was a Locke Kelly recording there that maybe Lynn had been playing or something, but just everywhere I went, I kept seeing Locke Kelly. And so I mentioned him as a possibility for our 2017 fall retreat, and we have invited him. We haven't got an answer yet, but it just kept showing up everywhere. So this is how Locke Kelly has come to be our satsang guest tonight as well, is just through this, his name was showing up everywhere. And I am reading his book. I'm a very slow reader because I read contemplatively. I'm typing his name into the room now. It's L-O-C-H. Somebody beat me to it. L-O-C-H and then K-E-L-L-Y. I'm a very slow reader because I read contemplatively, so it can take me 6 months to read a book. But I am reading his book right now. His book is also available as an audio book on audible.com. But anyway, he will be our guest tonight at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time for the Awakening Together Satsang. It is pre-recorded because he was not available to be here in this exact time, but it's an interview just for us. And then that will last 90 minutes, and following that, starting at 9 p.m. Eastern Time or 6 p.m. Pacific, it will be Nirmala's last mini-series. What's interesting is both Locke Kelly and Nirmala are recommended by Adyashanti. In fact, here's what Adyashanti says about Locke Kelly. Locke Kelly is one of the clearest expressions of authentic awakened freedom and love that I know. His book, Shift into Freedom, is a shining gem in the modern spiritual landscape. This book is wise and loving medicine. I notice Karen says Nirmala has been so good, and I totally agree with that. I have been listening with my eyes closed when I'm not adminning. this third session was so wonderful, I thought, that I actually have posted it on ReginaDawnAkers.com, and it will be coming out with Regina's weekly update tomorrow. Tonight is the last chance to hear Nirmala live, but again, all four of those audios are posted on the Awakening Together website, so you can go back and listen again and again. I do want to say about the mini-series. The mini-series is a donation invitation, which means that we invite you to donate to support the miniseries guest. There is a special link on our website under Donate which says Support the Miniseries. And right now, if you donate there, 100% of your donations goes to Nirmala. Also, when we invite the person for the miniseries, we tell them that we will pay them the donations. So we are running up now on the end of the time with Nirmala. So if you have not yet donated and you have really enjoyed him, now is a wonderful time to donate. Again, the recommended donation is anywhere from $2 to $10 per week. And so since Nirmala has been with us 4 weeks, that would be $8 to $40. And we set this up so that hopefully everybody can afford to donate. The way that I imagine it is, you know, many of the churches that I've gone to in the past have had guests come in, and when the guest is there, they kind of pass a little basket, or they have a donation basket in the back, and they say, this is for our guest. And some people will just drop in a couple of dollars. Some people will drop in $50, that kind of thing. It's really the same type of situation, even though we're an online church. It's that same type of situation. So, again, whenever you enjoy the miniseries guests, if you donate to that special link, it goes to that guest, just as if they were a guest in our physical building and we had a basket just for them. So please donate tonight or within the next few days, probably within the next week. You can always make sure you're donating to who you think you're donating to, because when you click on that donate to support the miniseries link, it tells you right there who the money is going to. So, again, right now all of the money is going to Nirmala. So, yeah, we have an exciting night tonight. Locke, Kelly, and Nirmala. Let me make a couple other quick announcements. It is too late to register for our fall retreat. That registration is now completely closed. All of the information has been reported to the retreat center, and they're buying groceries and getting ready for us. So, however, if you registered for the fall retreat, which is coming up next Sunday, it is not too late. In fact, right now is the perfect time to register for the shuttle. If you need a shuttle from the airport to the retreat center, we are taking shuttle reservations until Wednesday, October 19th. Please register for the shuttle by then, because what Ken is going to do, Ken is the shuttle driver, is he then on Thursday needs to create a schedule based on everybody's needs, and then he will send you an email letting you, giving you some pickup information. But in order for him to create that schedule and email you, we need your reservation by Wednesday. So there is a link. If you go to the Awakening Together website, click on events, and then click on the fall retreat, you'll see this huge link right there on the fall retreat page for registering for your shuttle. So please make sure you get that done by Wednesday so we can create a schedule that accommodates everyone. Also, I want to announce, Ken has announced this a couple of times, but we'll be announcing it many, many times so that everybody hears it. The Awakening Together Sanctuary is going to be closed during our fall retreat. We've now made this a matter of policy, and this is because we want everyone to be able to come to the retreat, including our paid staff, the people that work here. And the only way the paid staff, the people that work here, can come to the retreat is if the sanctuary is closed, because otherwise they have to be working. So we have decided that whenever we have our annual fall retreat, we will close down the sanctuary so everyone has the opportunity to come and be present physically, emotionally, and mentally at our retreat. So we will be here next Sunday morning for our weekly gathering. In fact, Jacqueline Eckert will be our minister. And we will still be here for part of the day. We are going to close next Sunday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. We will close at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and we will remain closed for the entire week. We will reopen at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, October 30th. So it's a complete one-week closing. Jay, I think you were already signed up for the shuttle, but go ahead and sign up again. We'll double check. We'll double check that. But I do have a reservation for you, Jay. So again, we close at 5 p.m. on Sunday, October 23rd, and we reopen at 5 p.m. on Sunday, October 30th. So I think that is it for my announcements. So why don't we move into what I call the sacred part of our weekly gathering. I'm going to begin it with a song. This song is called This, and it's by an artist name Amitabhan. Amitabhan is a follower of Amma, if I remember correctly. Here we go. All right, let's go into our opening prayer. I'll begin with a bit of silence until the prayer starts. My prayer is that we know with the heart instead of believing the mind. If we listen to the mind, we are not worthy of awakening. We are not good enough for awakening. We do not try hard enough. We fail much too often. There isn't even such a thing as awakening. There is no truth beyond this world and beyond this body. This is the kind of chatter that comes from the mind. But the heart knows something else. Something that isn't really expressed in words, although we often put it into words. The heart knows who we truly are. That which is beyond all form and all thought and all energy. That which is so subtle, the mind can't know it, which is why the mind says it does not exist. And yet, the mind itself is within this that we are, this that Amit Thabon was singing about. If it wasn't for this, which we are, we would not even be aware of the mind. The mind would have no ground to be in, no opening to chatter within. This is what we are. This which allows and embraces everything. Without this, there would be nothing. Knowing who we are is simple and easy. And yet, because we are addicted to the mind, it can seem hard or challenging or requiring a vigilance or barely reachable. What we need to learn is what Adyashanti calls effortless effort. We don't want to be so effortless that we're sucked into the habit of believing the mind. And yet too much effort misses this subtleness that is what we are, that is right here all of the time. So that middle effortless effort of paying attention, which Nirmala has been sharing with us in our mini-series, and which Locke Kelly shares, and Muji shares, and Adyashanti shares, and Gangaji shares, and Michael Langford points to. Let us find that position of effortless effort. And let us notice what is always here, what we truly are, what we've never left, what we could not leave, because it is what we are. Amen. And I know I left a lot of good teachers out of that prayer, but if I had listed all of the teachers that talk about it, Rupert Spira as another, I see Gloria, that makes me think of Rupert Spira, the prayer would have lasted forever. At least it would have gone on for hours upon hours. So the teachers mentioned in the prayer were merely symbols. All right, so what I want to do now is I want to turn the mic over to Tony Fields. Tony is going to read, it's an excerpt from Locke Kelly's book, Shift into Freedom, and actually it's excerpts from that excerpt, or it would have been too long, but it's a section in his book called Awakening in Contemporary Times. So excerpts from that section of Locke Kelly's book. Tony, I'm turning the mic over to you.
Good morning, everyone. Yes, as Regina has said, I am going to be reading excerpts from Awakening in Contemporary Times from the book Shift into Freedom by Locke Kelly. Most of the early explorers of awakening were associated with a particular religious tradition. Upon awakening, these inner astronauts described their experiences in their own cultural or religious languages. Awakening is not part of any one tradition and does not reveal any specific religious doctrine. Awakening and awareness are part of the human lineage we all share. Everyone can experience awakening and awake awareness while maintaining his or her own beliefs, philosophy, and theology. You don't have to join any religion or leave your current one in order to awaken. Awakening is part art, part science, and a good deal of mystery. Once we learn the principles of upgrading our common human consciousness, we see that awakening has observable principles and patterns and is both teachable and learnable. Paradoxically, awake awareness may seem much vaster than you are, and yet it is not other than you. Our most revered wisdom teachers have pointed to this deep understanding by saying things like, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Here, within does not mean inside of you. Personally, it means within you and all of us, like space is within all atoms. However, it often happens that the teachings of one era's innovator evolve into the orthodoxy of the next era's institutionalized religious dogma. It always struck me as funny that so many reformers who critiqued and split off from the traditions in which they were raised ended up becoming fundamentalists about their new belief systems instead of being more open to innovation. I have seen many people of different backgrounds begin to awaken, and it seems the limitations are not in the student, but in the teaching methods. Some people benefit from joining and staying with one particular tradition. The advantage of studying and practice in one tradition is consistency in language and system, making it easier to be clear about subtle distinctions. However, you can be at a disadvantage if the methods of practice don't fit your learning style. The main role of a teacher is to point you toward your own inner teacher. It is important to have mentors and teachers who have traveled farther along the path to offer guidance. Some psychotherapy studies, we know that transference, idealization, and projections are normal parts of our psychological relationship to a mentor. However, failing to recognize transference or over-reliance on a teacher can keep you dependent. Those of us who know people who followed gurus into cults are aware of this potential trap. Although teachers can share supportive energy, awake awareness cannot be transmitted from one person to another. Awake awareness is invisible and equally inherent within each of us. Whereas energy can travel from one person to another, awake awareness is already everywhere, so another person can only point it out to you. It needs to be discovered and realized by you. Adi Ashanti says, the keys to your happiness are no longer in anyone else's pocket from the past. They're in yours. Although a teacher can give you a good map and point you in the right direction, only you can make the difference by prioritizing your own growth daily. One example of a contemporary democratic model for physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual growth is a 12-step program such as Alcoholics Anonymous, in which leadership and speakers rotate. In 12-step programs, there's a set of common principles, but each person is allowed to choose a higher power of their own understanding. People in recovery start as a sponsee and then become a sponsor as a way of mentoring others. There's no reason why awakening cannot be studied, learned, and taught like psychology, biology, or something seemingly ineffable like music. Many kinds of learning are conceptual, but awakening is more experiential and subtle, like learning to balance on a bicycle. Practicing these principles cannot be easily put into words, but it works best if you are motivated to make awakening a priority in your life. That's the end of the reading, and I want to just thank Regina for giving me the opportunity to read today.
Gosh, Tony, thank you. I want to say thank you to you for accepting the invitation to read today. All right, so this section, first of all, Locke Kelly's book is very exciting to me. But this section, I felt some extra excitement maybe, which is why it's the reading. And I felt the extra excitement because I felt that Locke Kelly was really pointing to why organizations like Awakening Together are born and what they are here to do. And I also think it's important for us to really listen to this vision because we have within us the same weaknesses, that would be called the ego, the same weaknesses that have existed before with every other organization that has ever been born. And if we are not clearly aware of our vision and clearly aware of the importance of our vision, we can very quickly fall into the same traps. And in fact, I have already seen some little signs of people beginning to move in that direction. Very, very small at this point. But I think it's a good thing for us to take the time to refocus on our vision, refocus on who we are, stay awake to our vision, stay awake to who we are, and maybe, at least for some length of time, we can avoid falling into those traps. So what I want to do is go over Locke Kelly's sharing a little more slowly, and I want to point out some things that are an important part of who we are. And in this case, when I say who we are, I'm not referring to our truth right now, although I will refer to our truth as I speak today. But I'm referring to who we are as an organization, as Awakening Together, as a church, as a group of people who are joined together. So Locke Kelly talks about, first of all, the early explorers of awakening. And he refers to them as inner astronauts. I really love that inner astronaut analogy because what we each need to do, and this isn't just each of us in Awakening Together, but this is each of us in the planet and beyond the planet, if there are other planets with people awakening or beings awakening, what we each need to do is we need to go within like an inner astronaut, and explore and find the truth for ourselves. And no one else can do this for us. We do listen to a lot of good teachings, and we do read a lot of good teachings, and we are aware of a lot of good teachers. But as Locke Kelly points out, these teachers can only point the way. We each need to go within and discover who we are for ourselves. And one of the big disadvantages of all spiritual teachings is that the mind listens to the spiritual teachings The mind then creates concepts based on the words that are used. The mind says, I understand. And then the mouth and the body are pretty good at following the mind. And there's this I understandness and I know the truthness that isn't it at all. And so one of the things that we need to watch is that we do not become the new, I'm just going to say, I know religion. That we do not become the new, I know religion. Because as Locke Kelly is pointing out, and as Michael Langford has pointed out, and as I'm sure many, many others have pointed out, this is what seems to happen. Every time this inner exploration seems to begin again, you know, with a new spiritual leader, or in our case, with all of us, because we are equals, right? So as soon as this inner exploration begins again, as soon as someone begins to step into that unknown again and begins to explore, it's like the ego allows a certain amount of exploration, and then the ego steps in with, I know. And when the ego steps in with, I know, exploration stops. Fundamentalism sets in. And when fundamentalism sets in, separation repeats itself. Because now we know and they don't. Now, I have not seen this example. What I'm about to say, if it has happened, I have not seen it happen. But I think it's a wonderful example to show, a wonderful made up example to show how this could begin to develop right here in Awakening Together. And the example is with our friends, ACIM Gather. You know, just a little over a month ago, we were one organization. And now because of a number of different things that happened, like all really fast, and I couldn't even go through the list of all the things that happened to result in the fact that we are now two different organizations, we are now two different organizations. And I see that as perfection, again, because of all the different things that happened very quickly to make that happen, right? It was the universe at work. But the mind doesn't want to hold on to that perfection. The mind might want to begin to say, here's how we are better than them. Here's how we are more right than them. And that could happen with Awakening Together, pointing at ACIM Gather. That could happen with ACIM Gather, pointing to Awakening Together. That's the beginning, the birth of fundamentalism. We've already seen fundamentalism set in with A Course in Miracles, which has only been around a little over 50 years. But we do know there are people who have used the Course in their awakening who are not at all fundamentalist. You know, John Mark Stroud, who's going to be the speaker at our fall retreat next week, is one of them. Miranda McPherson is another. Chris Celine is another. But we also know there are lots of people out there who cling to the Course as if this is the truth and nothing else is quite as good. In fact, I heard one teacher in the sanctuary within the last week who is very attached to the Course saying very similar things, saying that this is the way Jesus, the way he wrote in the Course, that's the truth. These other things are not truth. Those other teachers were not enlightened. That's fundamentalism. And when we close down like that, this is what Locke Kelly is pointing out. When we close down like that, this is when the inner exploration stops. In fact, Locke Kelly says, where is it? He says, it often happens that the teaching of one era's innovator, and we could call A Course in Miracles an example of the teaching of one era's innovator, right? Because there are many teachings way before the last century. So it often happens that the teachings of one era's innovator evolve into the orthodoxy of the next era's institutionalized religious dogma. And then he goes on to say, it always struck me as funny that so many reformers who critiqued and split off from the traditions in which they were raised end up becoming fundamentalists about their new belief systems instead of being more open to innovation. And then he goes on to point that fundamentalism out as a limitation in the teaching method. He says there aren't limitations in the students. There's nothing at all to keep the students from awakening because the students are what they are attempting to awaken to. So there's nothing at all to keep the students from awakening. But once fundamentalism sets in, that creates a limitation in the teaching method. And then because of a limitation in the teaching method, the students do not awake. He does point out that it is helpful for some people to stay with one tradition. So this is not to say, you know, that A Course in Miracles or something else, Buddhism or Sufism or NTI or anything else may not be your calling and your only calling. Because he says it is helpful for some people to stick with one tradition, right? But there's a difference between sticking with one tradition for yourself and fundamentalism. The difference is when you're sticking with one tradition for yourself, you are following your heart and you are doing what your heart is telling you to do. You're following your inner guide. Fundamentalism is when you think everyone else who's doing something different is wrong. You're right, they're wrong. You see the separation in that? If you're following your own heart, whether you're staying with one very specific tradition, like A Course in Miracles or Buddhism, but you're following your heart and allowing everyone else to follow their heart, even if they're doing something different, that's allowing the inner astronauts to take their journey. And that's what Awakening Together is all about. That's why we say we trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance to one experience called awakening, which is realization of one true self. There's so much in that core value. We trust everyone is led by unique inner guidance. If we can trust that everyone is led by unique inner guidance, we can let those who feel to stay in one tradition be in one tradition and be perfectly right because they're following inner guidance. And those who seem to read books from many, many different traditions are just as perfectly right because they are following inner guidance. They're being the inner astronaut in the way they're being led to be the inner astronaut. We also say we realize everyone is equal and no one has been given spiritual intuition that is an authority over the spiritual intuition of others. Locke Kelly points to this core value too. He has no idea he's writing about Awakening Together. But when he uses the 12 steps tradition as an example, right? He's using the Alcoholics Anonymous 12 steps tradition as an example. And what he talks about there is how leadership and speakers rotate. Right? There is no one that is a spiritual authority over the others. The leadership and the speakers rotate. And this is also a big part of what Awakening Together is all about. That's why we don't have just Regina Dawn Akers, the founding minister, leading the weekly gathering every week. Currently, we have 5 ministers who rotate leading the weekly gathering, and that could increase if other ministers step forward and say they feel called to lead the weekly gathering too. There's no limit on how many people can become an Awakening Together minister and lead the weekly gathering because everyone is equal. It's all up to, is this a part of your inner astronaut experience? Is this a part of your guidance to become a minister? And then, because lots of people become ministers and don't want to lead the weekly gathering, but to become a minister and then to lead the weekly gathering. Is this a part of your inner astronaut experience? If it is, then you are welcome to do it here. Right? There's no one here that is an authority over the others. And even if you don't want to lead the weekly gathering, that doesn't feel like your calling, many, many of you, whether ministers or not, have taken slots to speak and share in our sanctuary. The speakers are constantly rotating. And this is a part of what Locke Kelly points to as a part of the awakening in contemporary times. And one reason that this is very helpful is because of something he mentions in his book, is that when there's one leader, people tend to become too attached to that leader. They think the leader knows things they don't know, right? They become too dependent on the leader. And again, the inner exploration that they need to follow stops because they're looking out at a leader. In fact, what Locke Kelly says, and you all know I feel this way, I've said this hundreds of times, is that the main role of a teacher is to point each one to their own inner teacher. Right? That's the main role of a teacher, is to help point in. But as soon as the outer teacher becomes the focus, something breaks down. Just like when fundamentalism becomes a part of the scene, something breaks down. When one outer teacher becomes the focus, something breaks down. The inner astronaut, the exploring, stops. Only when we see ourselves as equals. Only when we can rotate that role of teacher. And one more thing I want to say. Another thing that can happen, and I have seen happen here in Awakening Together. Another thing that can, not a lot, but a little, all these things I've seen happening a little, but it's good for us to be aware of them now. I have seen when some of our teachers, and again, we can all be teachers if that's a part of our inner astronaut experience, but when some of our teachers don't know when to let go of the role of teacher. Like right now, Regina Dawn Akers is speaking. And it's wonderful to listen. It's wonderful to type in the room like the typing I'm seeing here. This is wonderful. This is just, you know, I listen better if I get to participate a little. I know there are other people just like me who actually will listen better if they're able to participate. So when I'm listening to someone, I like to echo. I like to agree because that little bit of typing and participating actually helps me to listen better. It makes me more of an active listener to participate. And so that's great that we can do that here in Pal Talk. But I sometimes see teachers, they're not participating, they're teaching while someone else is teaching, right? The teacher may say something like, let me use the example of, A Course in Miracles has only been around 50 years and already, there's a fundamentalism being born there. And someone else may type, A Course in Miracles is actually much more true than Buddhism and blah, blah, blah. See, that person isn't participating as a student in an active listening way. That person is being the teacher right now, even though they aren't the one with the mic. I've never been a part of 12 Steps, but I've heard a lot about 12 Steps. I don't think that would be allowed in 12 Steps. Am I correct? I don't think that would be allowed. It's the one at the front that is sharing and everybody else is now in the role of listening. And again, active listening, right? Active listening is great. It helps some of us to listen. But if it's not your time to teach, you need to be able to take that teacher hat off. If you can't take that teacher hat off and be the one listening, again, your inner exploring stops. My inner exploring continues when I listen to you, really listen. When I listen to you with active listening, I am in the process, in that moment, of inner exploring. But if I was to think, I'm always the teacher, I'm Regina Dawn Akers, I'm the president minister, I'm the founder, I'm the one that's right, and if they say something wrong, I need to correct them, I need to type on the board that they are wrong, my inner exploration stops when I do that. So, one reason that the rotating of of teachers. Yeah, Deb is typing. Rotating teachers works. Rotating listeners works. I agree completely, and that's what Locke Kelly is saying here as well. And one reason that works is because listening is one way that inner exploring continues. Right? That's one way, by being the listener. When it's our turn to be the listener, we inner explore as listeners. Try it tonight with Locke Kelly and Nirmala. You'll see exactly what I mean. But also teaching. It is important to teach if that's a part of your inner astronaut calling. Because every single person who steps forward and teaches because they're called to do so and has some element of trust in that teaching, when you start to speak, what comes through your own mouth awakens you. It awakens you. You know, the vast majority of what I have learned, at least 90%, if not 95% of what I have learned that is awakening me, came through these vocal cords and this hand, if I happen to be writing. These vocal cords, this hand. So if I had said, I'm always the listener, I will never be the teacher, I would have missed out on 95% of what's come to me in my awakening. Only 5% came through being the listener, actually. 95% came through being the teacher. So when we rotate the teaching and we let different people take the mic and different people teach, we are giving more and more people the opportunity to awaken themselves through their own speaking. Becky Gibson. Becky, I always call you Rebecca, so it's funny to see Becky Gibson. But Becky Gibson, my Rebecca, is saying teachers who encourage spiritual exploration are not bound by fears. And I'm going to add to that by saying students who are willing to explore are not bound by fears. It doesn't mean we don't have fears. We're not bound by those fears. So, what else do I want to say here? Oh, one thing that he talks about that I really love is he says that awakening is part art, part science, and a good deal of mystery. Part art, part science, and a good deal of mystery. Let me talk about the science first. There are some things that teachers can teach us, and they do, that if we follow those formulas, they are a part of the awakening process. That's the science. So, for example, when Michael Langford teaches awareness, watching awareness, meditation, that's the science. We can contemplate his books like The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. Until we get it. I don't know about you guys, but the first time I read that book, I did not get it. I had no idea what he was talking about with awareness, watching awareness meditation. But as I contemplated the book longer, and as I contemplated the quotes in the 7 Steps to Awakening, and as I practiced on my own, eventually I found it. I found it. And now I can practice awareness, watching awareness with confidence, right? That's a part of the science, the part, you know, a specific formula can be taught and you can practice that specific formula, and it's definitely a part of the awakening process. And one way you know that awareness, watching awareness is a part of the science is because it's not just Michael Langford saying my way is the best way. That would be fundamentalism. It's Michael Langford pointing to 7 other sages saying they did it and I learned it from them. And then if you go to Bentinho Massaro, he actually talks about it, you know, a little different, 2 to 5 second glimpses several times during the day. That's 2 to 5 second glimpses of awareness, watching awareness. Locke Kelly teaches it. Nirmala has been teaching it. Rupert Spira teaches it. Nisargadatta taught it. Ramana Maharshi taught it. And again, I can't list the long list of teachers. We'd be here all day. But the fact that this same little formula about paying attention to awareness is taught over and over and over and over and over again, that's a part of the science. So if we want to get the science part down, then we get down that awareness, watching awareness. Another part of the science is letting go of believing your thinking. Teacher after teacher after teacher teaches us to let go of believing your thinking. This is what Gina Lake focuses on. Nirmala focuses on the awareness, watching awareness. Gina Lake focuses on the letting go of believing your thoughts. Now, Gina and Nirmala are married, so they're a perfect pair, right? But she teaches the letting go. A Course in Miracles really teaches the letting go a lot. NTI teaches the letting go a lot. There are lots of teachings about letting go of believing the thinking. Byron Katie is all about the letting go. Eckhart Tolle is more about the awareness, watching awareness. You see? It's like two pieces to the science. And we can learn both pieces. We can learn those from teachers who teach how. And then we can practice those sciences on our own. And that's a big part of the awakening process. Letting go of believing the mind, focusing attention on awareness. That's the science. But he says it's also part art. What is the art? The art is finding your own inner guidance. The art is finding your intuition, your one unique path. No two people have ever awakened in exactly the same way. If you, in fact, this is what Bentinho said he tried to do when he was young and wanting to awaken. I think he was around 16 or 17 when he was doing this. He tried studying all these different people that had awakened, and he tried, you know, like mapping it out. If you do this, then this, then this, then this, you'll awaken. Well, if it was only science, if awakening was 100% science, that would work, right? He was trying to find 100% science. 100% science doesn't exist. What he found is you can't map it. It doesn't work the same way for everyone. This is an important part of awakening together. You know, awakening together allows people to follow their own unique inner guidance. That's the art. And I cannot judge for you what your inner guidance is, and you cannot judge for me what my inner guidance is. So we have to allow people to find their way. We have a few people in the sanctuary that speak that are a little different than the majority of us. And sometimes this question arises, are they a fit for here? Because what they're teaching is a little different than the majority of us. So what I listen for, when I listen to answer that question, are they a fit for here? You know, I listen for several things, you know, including is there a lot of fundamentalism there? And if it gets overly fundamentalist, where they're telling everybody else they're wrong, we may have to let them go, because that is a conflict with our values. So that's possible somebody could be let go. But if they're not fundamentalist, if they're just following a different path, and they seem to be following their inner guidance, and they seem to be getting clarity, and it seems to be leading them in the direction that we're all going, then yes, it belongs here. We aren't all supposed to be teaching the same thing. What are we going to do? Pick Adyashanti? We all teach Adyashanti? Or maybe we narrow it down, Adyashanti, Muji, Gangaji, that's it. No. Then we become fundamentalists, and we close off the inner exploration. We have to allow each one to follow their inner guidance. So occasionally someone may take the mic and be reading a book, but they're the only one reading that book. It doesn't call to any of the rest of us, right? But if we listen, we can hear what it's doing for that one. And do you know what else is a part of our core values? That we support. We support each other. I have sat in here and listened to people who are teaching things that have nothing to do with what I'm guided to. Nothing at all. Zero. And yet I listen. I listen for that clarity that I know is guidance guiding them. And by listening to the clarity that I know is guidance guiding them, what I feel I'm doing is being supporting. And there was one person, one of the ones that a lot of people say, this person's different than the rest of us. Should he be here? Almost nobody shows up to listen to him because he's different. I was listening to him. And I was typing in, because like I said, that's how I active listen. I was typing in, echoing things that I was hearing his inner voice saying, that I really felt was very clear and pointing in the right direction. And do you know what he said at the end of that hour? He said something about Regina being so supportive and so loving tonight. He felt that support. So the fact that what he was talking about had nothing to do with my inner guidance doesn't really, won't ever probably become a part of what I follow. The fact that I supported him through my active listening, that's also a part of what we're here about. You know, it's not just about me. It's not just about me. Now, I can't be here in the sanctuary all the time. I have a job and I have a life and I get called away. But what I am doing is paying attention to when I can be here. You know, like I have a choice. I could be watching Big Bang Theory or I could be in the sanctuary sometimes, right? And I've seen all the Big Bang Theories a few times already. So I'm choosing to come into the sanctuary. And I don't come into the sanctuary because this speaker is one that I want to listen to as a part of my inner guidance. I come into the sanctuary as a part of the whole. Maybe through my active listening, my inner exploring will happen, depending on who's speaking. Maybe no inner exploring is going to happen when I listen to this one because their path is so different. But maybe I can support them. And when I support them, I'm going beyond me. I'm broadening. And that is also a part of the awakening process. So I come in because I'm available to come in, not because of who's speaking. And then I listen to whoever is speaking. And maybe it's reminding me, maybe it's enlightening me, maybe I'm just holding them because they are enlightening themselves. Either way is perfect. And this is what Locke Kelly is pointing to when he talks about 12 steps as an example. Right? Isn't that what 12 steps is about? Supporting one another on your path of letting go of addiction? That's what Awakening Together is about. Supporting one another on your path of letting go of addiction to the mind. Supporting one another in awakening. So if we can just come into the sanctuary just because we're available, right? And we know it's open. It's open hours. And then actually listen. Active listening, non-judgmental listening, we help that person. And again, we don't all have to think alike. In fact, that's the way this one person I'm speaking about, who seems to be a little different from many of us, from the majority, that's how he got here. Because he asked to teach in the sanctuary, and I at first I had the wrong hat on. I had the judgmental mind on. I said, I don't know, what you do is a little different. I'm not sure it belongs here, or something like that, you know. And he wrote back and he said, well, you know what happens when you get a bunch of people thinking exactly alike and you don't allow different kinds of thoughts? You get a cult. I'm like, you're right. Let's put you on the schedule. And I've been here to listen to him three times now. And I've, you know, I enjoy being here listening to him when I can. So let's not forget what Awakening Together is all about. It's about all of us. Awakening. That's why it's called Awakening Together. And in order to awaken together, we have to allow each one to follow the art, their inner guidance, right? The art. Okay, so I'm about out of time, so let me finish up here. Locke Kelly said it's part science, which we now know is awareness watching awareness and letting go of believing the mind. That's the science. Part art, which is following inner guidance, and we'll even add to that and supporting each other in following inner guidance. I think that's a part of the art too, right? Finding and following our own inner guidance and supporting others as they find and follow their inner guidance. That's the art. And then this last part is a good deal of mystery. And that's the part we can't do anything about. That's the part that A Course in Miracles is referring to when it says God takes the last step, right? We can't do anything about that. So there are things that we can do, the science and the art, and then there's the mystery. Grace happens. So So with that said, I would like to leave you all to contemplate the vision of Awakening Together and why we are here together as Awakening Together. You know, maybe look within ourselves for where I might fall for some of the traps, you know, where I might fall for fundamentalism, where I might fall for judging others, thinking that, you know, the way I'm doing it is better than the way they're doing it, where I might not be interested in supporting others. I'm only interested in my awakening. Can you hear that? Me, my awakening. Right? Let's think about what Awakening Together really is, why it was called into existence. And I assure you it was a calling. It did not come from my little mind. Why was it called into existence? Why have we been attracted to it? Let's contemplate that vision. And maybe if we keep that in our hearts, we can do this, if you'll pardon the expression, right. We can do this right. And while you're contemplating that, I'm going to play a song by Stephen Walters. It's called Listen Closely.
There is a song only the heart can hear. Listen closely. Older than time, yet fresh as the fragrance of a flower. Is this melody? Lovers have spoken of the song. Such sweet despair. Reach for this and it's closer than your hand. Let go and it's there. And then the music. Such sweet music. Suddenly the music's everywhere, everywhere. Sing the mountain, sing the rising sun, sing the flowing river and the valley just beyond. The mystery has no goes on and on. Sing until the singer is the song. Gatte, gatte, para gatte, para sangatte. Bodhiswaha. Gatte, gatte, para gatte, para sangatte. May your heart be filled with music. May all hearts hear this music. And our voices fill the skies. Sing the mountain. Sing the rising sun. Sing the flowing river. The valley just beyond. The mystery has no ending. It just goes on and on. Sing until the singing is the song. Gatte, gatte, para gatte, para sangatte. Bodhiswaha. Gatte, gatte, para gatte, para sangatte. There is a song only the heart can heal. Listen closely.
Yeah, there is a song only the heart can hear. And of course, what my talk was about this morning is how the mind is going to try and mess it up so we don't hear that song, right? And also, I love what Rebecca has quoted, sing until the singing is the song, right? I love that line as well. This is an opportunity now for you all to share based on what's come to you during the contemplation regarding today's reading and today's homily. So, who would like to share? All right, Rev Gloria, the mic is yours.
Good morning, good morning. I am truly touched this morning by Regina sharing. Thank you so much to the reader this morning, Tony, as well as the message today. It is so touching to me. When I think about, as the song was playing, I thought about when I came to Awakening Together. And it was right at the beginning, right when Awakening Together, right around the time that we officially began to switch over. And one of the questions that Regina asked today was, why have I particularly been called to such a setting such as this? And for me, it has totally been the what Regina talked about today, the accepting, the allowing of each one to be who they are, to be where they are, to be how they are, to awaken from this inner astronaut. I am definitely one of the people who strongly feel that my inner astronaut has called me specifically to this beautiful gathering of souls on the awakening process. From a very personal perspective, my background is just not even the people who know me very closely. The way I grew up, where I grew up, is what most people would consider poverty in the hood, you know, is the what comes to mind. And I have no formal education, no formal background for speaking or anything like that. So I often ask myself this very question, how did I get here? Rebecca commented earlier in the box in the room here that the speakers are not bound by fears. And you all heard Regina speak today. I mean, she's, you know, phenomenal when it comes to teaching. So for any of us other ministers to come up and get in a rotation with someone who is so highly regarded as a teacher and share does take, you have to release some of the fear there that you can't do it any other way. So what I'm getting to here is that I'm very thankful to have that my inner astronaut has led me to this place at this time. For whatever reason, you know, I feel very strongly called to be here, not only as a student but as a teacher. I do feel very much accepted in a world that, you know, reflects sometimes non-acceptance. I feel very much accepted in this space, and I feel comfortable when I'm here sharing, and I'm always grateful for that opportunity. So I'm completely almost speechless today, which is a rarity for me, because I am also an active listener. I am one who loves to engage the speaker, whether it be in my words that I'm writing or in my words that I'm speaking. So I'm very touched. I feel very loved, and I send great love to each and every one of you. Letting go of this mic.
Thank you, Gloria. And I think that's an important point that you made, that right now the world does seem to reflect a lot of, you know, non-acceptance, a lot of judgment. We can see a lot of that right now happening in the world, and we don't want that here. We don't want people to have to be like me, think like me, in order for me to love them and support them, right? Like I said, there are some things occasionally we may have to release someone from the schedule if they, you know, get very fundamentalist, or if it's clear that their teaching isn't pointing to one true self. But as long as it's within our core values, we allow it here. It doesn't have to be a certain type of teaching. It doesn't have to be a certain particular path. All right, Jay, thank you for your patience. The mic is yours.
Thank you, Regina, for that message. And really, thank you a lot, Gloria, for that, the thoughts you just shared. And I think it's important, everything that you and Regina said. So I am actually pulled over on the highway because I wanted to make a comment, maybe a little background noise. So one of the things that struck me as I was listening to Regina today, of course, in addition to all the points that Regina and Gloria were mentioning, is the thought, you can either go small or you can go big. You know, and you have that old phrase, either go big or go home. And I think I want to put a little different twist on that, because when you're only concerned with, quote-unquote, your awakening, you could argue that you're not actually being concerned with awakening at all, because, you know, that's like going small. And, like, the thought that came to me as I was listening to Regina is to go big, you know, be involved and support others in their awakening. And I really have always encouraged teaching. I've gotten so much out of teaching over the years. I've taught so many different classes for so long, and I've gotten so much out of it. And it's so true that the one who teaches benefits to such a great degree. And if that is your calling, really, there's so much that comes through you. Like Regina was saying, the 95% that you learn yourself from what comes through you is really inspiring to you primarily, and to potentially others. And isn't it great that, because I support others, that others are going to be drawn to support me too. And it's like in that joining, in and of itself is a practice, right? That's what I love about what has come through Regina as the founding minister, what has come through is what we call Awakening Together, is of itself a practice to do the very things that Regina is talking about. To guard against fundamentalism is no small endeavor. The main push of the ego is to want to be right, and to continuously practice this through supporting others' teachings who aren't exactly doing what you're doing is of itself a practice, and it's one of the things I love about it. I originally was practicing that with Dove when I became a part of this with ASAM Gather, and you know, Regina has really, this is really the central core of what I see as Awakening Together is, and it's just one of those express gratitude and thanks, and just, I want to go big, and I encourage everybody else to go big too, rather than going small. You know, small is the ego, so let's go big together, and just take it on home. Giving us the mic.
Yeah, thanks, Jay. Those are wonderful comments. I appreciate you pulling over on the highway to make them. I could tell that you did indeed pull over. I could not only hear the traffic going by, but I could also hear your little blinker or maybe your emergency lights, you know. So I knew that you were pulled over, and I appreciate that being safe as well. So thank you very much. Yeah. So we are about out of time here, unless somebody else has a burning comment they would like to make. I'll wait a moment to see if another hand goes up. All right. I don't see a hand going up. So what I am going to do is play our closing song, which I think also is a perfect fit for what we're talking about today. Listen to the title of this song, Nothing But Halos. Right? Nothing But Halos. If we hold on to that nothing but halos thought, we're not going to be judging someone's teaching as not belonging here, or judging someone else's path as not as good as my path, or, you know, right? It's nothing but halos. So this is by Lou Doty. Nothing But Halos. Sorry, I had it turned up loud for Jay. Hope I didn't bust your eardrums there. Here we go.
As this perfect little cloud makes its way across the sky, it's the perfect day for you. It's the perfect day to die. As this gentle northern breeze blows the clouds across the sky, so my perfect spirit shows the way across my life. Nothing but halos, nothing but halos surround me. There's perfect spirit back of everything I see. Nothing but halos, nothing but halos do I find. And as my spirit grows, nothing but halos. As I sit in meditation underneath this lovely tree, is love the tree I dream, or is it dreaming of me? I am entwined within its branches as it reaches toward the sun. As my spirit takes me skyward in my journey toward the one. Nothing but halos, nothing but halos surround me. There's perfect spirit back of everything I see. Nothing but halos, nothing but halos do I find. And as my spirit grows, nothing but halos. Nothing but halos, nothing but halos surround me. There's perfect spirit back of everything I see. Nothing but halos, nothing but halos do I find. And as my spirit grows, nothing but halos. As this perfect little cloud makes its way across the sky, it's the perfect day to live, it's the perfect day to die.
All right, I love that. Nothing but halos as my spirit takes me on the journey back to one. And how can we go on the journey back to one by saying I'm right and everybody else is wrong? Or we're right and everybody else is wrong, right? That doesn't sound like the path to me. So I want to thank you all very much for coming, and I am going to turn this mic over to Reverends Ken and Rebecca Gibson, who will now lead our what's it called? I call it social hour, but it actually has a fellowship hour, I think is the formal name for it. So our fellowship hour. Yeah. All right. Letting go of the mic. Thank you.